Well, it's today that we set aside a special day in which we honor our mothers. As you think about your mother, how would you describe her? How would you say that she has shaped you, or in what way has she been an influence on you? What kind of wisdom has she given? Sometimes I wonder if mothers come from another planet, maybe a planet of superheroes. I think that they've been endowed with superhuman hearing or X-ray vision to see us when we're trying to sneak around, or hear us when we're even just whispering the quietest of phrases. There they are, they're three rooms away, and you're trying to sneak something from the refrigerator, and you hear them holler, "Don't eat that, you'll spoil your dinner." And they seem to know when you make a face behind their back, and they'll sometimes say something like, "You better wipe that look off your face or I'll wipe it off for you." Or, "Keep doing that and your face will freeze." And then there's, "I brought you into the world and I can certainly take you out." Moms, I think, as well, have been endowed with supersonic speed. Last year we were flying home from Dallas, Texas, and in an effort to get the Wiggles out, we were in the airport. Pretty much empty, other than just a few people around, and we were letting David get the Wiggles out before that long flight back to Detroit, and he was running around, and he found an exit door. And the exit door led past security again, so we were already through security. It would have taken him back out, and he was at the door, and Robin seemed like she was in another terminal way, but she caught him by the coat before the door closed. They seem to just be able to be where you're at right at an instant. What mother isn't adventurous? They enter into worlds of make-believe with their children, whether it's building castles or riding on pirate ships or sitting at a little table sipping dainty cups of tea. They seem to just enter into the world of children and be a part of that. And what mother isn't a part of taking on perilous journeys? Some may climb Mount Everest in search of thrills galore, but I scale peaks that rival it just past the laundry door. Slopes of socks and underwear, sheer cliffs of shirts and pants. Oh yes, I live in mortal fear of the laundry avalanche. Yeah, they are very much a part of embarking on journeys. I've had some often used phrases that mothers will use, and I'm wondering if by show of hands when I read them, you might say, yes, either mom said that to me, or I have in fact will confess saying that to my children. But it speaks of their wisdom, these pithy remarks that oftentimes come from them. Don't get smart with me. Yeah, just wait until your father gets home. Yeah. If you break your leg, don't come running to me. You are going to have fun. Where's my change? Yeah. Be careful or you'll put your eye out. What if everyone jumped off a cliff? Would you do it too? Oh, close that door. Were you born in a barn? You have enough dirt behind those ears to grow potatoes. Don't put that in your mouth. You don't know where it's been. It doesn't matter what you accomplish. I'll always be proud of you. This is why we can't have nice things. Yeah. Yes, I am the boss of you.
Oh, boy. Bored? How can you be bored? I was never bored at your age. I have to tell this because just a week ago, David told Robin that he was bored. And so then Robin's asked, well, what does it mean to be bored? And he says it means to be really tired. So I hope that's what he always thinks about it. But here's the classic, because I'm your mother, that's why. Well, here's a few things that you may never hear your mother say or have never heard them say. How on earth can you see the TV sitting that far back? Anybody ever hear that? Yeah, I used to skip school a lot, too. Go ahead and leave all the lights on. It makes it look more cheery. Let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another week. Go ahead and keep the stray dog, honey. I'll be glad to feed and walk him every day for you. The curfew is just a general time for to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here. I don't have a tissue with me. Just go ahead and use your sleeve. Don't bother wearing a jacket. The wind chill is bound to improve. Oh, two little boys, they were 4 and 6, had proudly presented their mother with a houseplant. She was really tickled that they had spent their own money in order to buy it. The older boy, however, was a little saddened and had explained that there was another prettier bouquet that they wanted to purchase, but they didn't have enough money. Because she was always asking for some peace and quiet, the ribbon on it said, "Rest in peace." Oh, boy. What we do without kids. What memories do you have of your mother? What things would you be able to write down, sayings and experiences, journeys that you have taken, time spent with her? They have done a lot for us. Proverbs tells us that we are to rise up and bless them because of all the things that they have done. Iron pants and fixed our favorite meal and washed our favorite shirt so that we could have it. Just the host of things that they have done for us. Mothers, David tries as best as he can to beat the bad guy with the Wii controller, but he can't do both at the same time, so his mom helps him out by using one control while he does the other. You spend a lot of time doing things beyond what's expected. Rise up and bless her today. She wholly embodies the fruit of the Spirit, sometimes more than others, but she does embody love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. She forgives easily. Readily pours out equal amounts of grace and mercy. In thinking about Mother's Day today, I was drawn to a rather obscure mother in Scripture. And I'd like for you to turn to the book of Exodus in chapter 2. We know her son very well. But this mother, very little is written about her, and so we have to make some assumptions about her based on what those few passages are in Scripture that we read, as well as the impact that she had on her children. It seems to me that many a mother chooses to elevate those in her family above herself, choosing to make sure that they are in the limelight, when in fact they themselves should be there. Their children are often, or their husband are often, the ones who are elevated. that's the case with this particular mother, and we're going to be talking. We aren't even told her name in this passage. Elsewhere, we will find out that the mother of Moses is Jochebed. Someone has rightly stated that behind every good man is a good woman. And I think that's the case here. Moses is the central figure in this Old Testament passage, and indeed much of the Old Testament, and especially in the first five books, he was the author of them. But we see him promoted, elevated in from an obscure position and personhood in his family to someone of prominence, placed in a situation beyond his control as an infant after 40 years of being raised in the lap of luxury, educated by the finest tutors in Egypt, thinking that he was helping his own country people, the Israelites, he murdered an Egyptian and consequently fled the land. And so for 40 years he had lived in luxury, and 40 more years he had lived in relative obscurity, content with the pasture lands, the peacefulness that he found in the mountain regions of Midian, where he was raising a family, an entirely different life than what he had known in the first 40 years of his life. Moses is the central figure, central human figure we see in the story of Israel in its early growth and then subsequently being brought into as a nation. But all of what Moses had known came to a screeching halt when he murdered that Egyptian and fled the land. But here he is, called back in. Who he was, what he became, essentially is a result of his mother. And I'd like for us in this passage, in the first 10 verses, to notice three things about Jochebed, about mothers. A mother builds on a solid foundation. Secondly, we'll take a look at a mother bears a strong family. And then finally, in these verses, we'll see that a mother believes in a saving faith. So first of all, look with me at verse 1, at a mother builds on a solid foundation. Now, a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman. Webster's dictionary defines a foundation as the base on which something is built or rests. It also describes it as the fundamental principle on which something is founded. Jochebed had both. She had a strong family history and sound principles of faith that guided her in her life. The right materials must be used in order to erect a foundation, in order to erect a building or a structure that will stand strong. You use inappropriate materials or inferior materials in the foundation, and doesn't matter really how well you build the rest of the structure, it's going to be weak. Friday night we had all those very hard rains, and the walkway going down into our basement is beginning to collapse. It's concrete block going down into it. And so as the wall caves in, because it's got inferior materials, mud is coming down and it's seeping under the doorway. We need to have it repaired. Jochebed built on a solid foundation that had been laid for her from generations before her. So there is a solid foundation. The foundation of our country is the Constitution. The Supreme Court is established with the responsibility of ensuring that we as a nation continue under the principles that are built on the foundation of the Constitution. It's a strong document, and it's supposed to be that guiding force that helps us as a nation look back at what the Founding Fathers had intentioned for us in looking forward as a people to continue to instill from generation to generation. The Bible for the Christian is that foundation on which we build our lives and extract from it the principles by which we live day by day. Jochebed, it says here, a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman. So I want you to notice the solid foundation that was laid for her. When we next see Moses again as he prepares to be God's deliverer, he was the man he was because of the foundation that was laid for him. It began with her. But then it came from her mother, and her mother before her, and her mother before her, and on down through the generations past, the foundation that had been laid for her. Some 400 years previous to this, as you know the story, some 400 years previous to this, a band of 70 people in a small family came down into the land. There was famine there. Unbeknownst to Jacob, his son Joseph, who had been sold into slavery by his jealous brothers, had wound up not only becoming part of the culture of the Egyptian economy, but very prominent in it. Elevated to a position of authority, second only to Pharaoh himself. He had the responsibility of authority in the distribution of the food during this particular famine that was ensuing. And so Jacob had sent his sons down there to find food, and they did, and they were sent back, bring your son. And so eventually they found out that it was Joseph, and he invited them to come down and live with them, so that they could be there and be spared from the famine that still had a number of years remaining. Joseph's great-grandfather, Abraham, had spoken about faith in God, had laid the foundation of trusting in Yahweh, and he passed it on to his son Isaac. Isaac passed it on to his son Jacob. Jacob passed it on to his 12 children, and his 12 children passed it on to their children. And for these 400 years, they're laying the foundation of being able to trust in God. It's the foundation on which Jochebed is building her family, that they could trust God. Now, one of the things that Abraham had passed on, essential to them as a people, was that you would become a great nation, and not only would you become a great nation, but you also will inherit a land that is not your own, and it will be given to you, and God will be your God, and He will help you populate this place. And so they needed to learn to trust God, that even under the oppression that they were experiencing at the time, under Pharaoh and the people of Egypt, they had become a great nation or a great people. Would they become a great nation in their own place, or would they remain under subjection? The Israelites had to learn, based on the foundation that had been laid for them, beginning with Abraham, that they could trust God. And Jochebed had that kind of foundation, remembering the promises of God that had been passed on. She, in fact, continued to instill them in her family. I'm convinced that Moses' mother believed in God's promise because she had been taught to trust God. And we'll see that from Hebrews chapter 11. And she had a saving faith, and we'll look at that in a moment. But here she is laying a solid foundation because there was a solid foundation that had been laid for her. The foundation that you lay for your family is important. Teach them about trusting God. Teach them about how important it is that no matter what circumstances may look around us, that trusting God to help us through them while we're in them is important. No matter if we can see the end of the tunnel or not, no matter if there are things that seem so overwhelming that we don't understand them, we need to trust God. And that is the kind of foundation that Jochebed was passing on to her family. Teach them by your example to trust God, that no matter what, no matter the circumstances, no matter the evidence around you, that He will keep His promises. Teach them by your example to give thanks in all those circumstances. that you are a grateful person. They need to be grateful as well for the things that you have been blessed with. Teach them by your example the importance of building on a foundation of the principles that are in God's Word. From God's Word. So teach them about His principles. Teach them that the more they follow the principles of God's Word, the fewer things that they're going to have to look back and regret in life. Teach them by example to pray fervently. How essential it is that we spend time alone with God, bringing to Him the things that are on our heart. And who has a more tender heart than a mother? So teach them the importance of fervent prayer. Looking to a God who can do all things. Teach them by your example of building the character or nature of God into their life. I hope that you're laying a solid foundation with the right kind of spiritual materials so that their lives will stand when the storms of life tempt them to turn away. Our passage says that a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman. I want to mention something else that's essential in laying a solid foundation. It's not only found here, but we see in the book of Hebrews and the book of 1 Corinthians as well, how important it is, and we see it from Jochebed because it says she married in the family. She married another person who was a Levite. If you still have children at home, drill into them the importance, not just because it's a good practice or a good principle, but because God's Word says that we need to marry within the faith. We need to marry somebody who also has the same kind of love for God that we do. Jochebed married someone who was of like faith. Teach them from the example of a solid foundation. I want to mention as well, because I know that some of you are first-time or first-generation believers. You're laying a very solid foundation for your children to follow. Use the principles in God's Word to lay a solid foundation for your family, then to build and to lay a foundation for their family and on. Use the right materials. You're building an important foundation for them. Secondly, notice in the first part of verse 2 that a mother bears a strong family. Not only does she build on a solid foundation, but she bears a strong family. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. In just a few verses, we're going to see that she had another child as well. Moses had an older sister named Miriam. We find out in Numbers 26 that there were three children born to Jochebed and Amram. Moses, who was the youngest, Miriam, who was the oldest, but Aaron, who was the second in the family. So for a moment, think about the legacy of the children that Jochebed had raised. Of course, we know significantly about the life of Moses because there's much that's written about him. We see the kind of person that he became, much to the credit of Jochebed. We'll, in our account, read that for a short period of time, Jochebed had the opportunity to raise her son before he was given over by adoption to the daughter of Pharaoh. She only had a few short years. She only had a short time to instill in him the character, the nature of God, to trust Him, to believe His principles, and to lay a solid foundation so that when the temptations of the world came, as we see in Hebrews chapter 11, he was able to turn his back on the things that he could have had to become what God wanted him to be. Jochebed gave a strong legacy to her children. Moses would be that icon that person who was essential in helping to deliver the people of Israel from bondage as he obeyed God, went into the land and was God's spokesman and delivering prophetically the things that would happen to the nation of Egypt because of their defiance of God. And so Moses' strength is born on his mother's teaching him the principles of God's word. She was giving to her children a legacy that would be strong. Moses is considered one of the greatest leaders in Israel's history. Haley's Bible Handbook has this to say about him, or about Jochebed. She so thoroughly instilled the traditions of his people in him in childhood that all the splendor and temptations of the heathen palace never eradicated those early impressions. He had the finest education Egypt could offer, but it did not turn his head or cause him to lose his childhood faith. A great Hebrew leader, born at a time when the king sought to eradicate the people of Israel by infanticide, we'll go back in chapter 1 and read how he gave an edict that any child who was born, any male that was born, was to be killed. Jochebed defied that order. The midwives defied that order. And Moses was raised to become the leader, an orator, a legislator, a great spokesman for God. It is said of Moses that he is the friend of God. He alone, it is said, could speak face to face. Think about the legacy of Jochebed in the person of Moses. In the first 40 years of his life, he thought he was a somebody. In the next 40 years of his life, he thought he was a nobody. But in the last 40 years of his life, he learned that God can take a nobody and make him into somebody to do great things. A lot of that could be attributed to Jochebed. She was bearing a strong family legacy. Hebrew 11 speaks of the kind of man he became when he broke from the world to follow wholly after God. He turned his back on the enticement of the world and all that it could offer to be identified with his people and with God. It became for him, as we understand the chapter of Hebrews 11, a mark of faith. But Moses wasn't the only family member in which she instilled these character traits. As I mentioned in Numbers 26, we find out that Aaron was also an older brother. We read about Aaron in the Old Testament there as it is his line, beginning with him, to be the high priest of Israel. It is the responsibility of Aaron to be able to bring his people into worship of God. He would become a type of Christ as our high priest. So there was something about Aaron in which God could look down and see in his character, flawed as it was, because we know he led the nation into idolatry at a period when Moses was out getting the Ten Commandments. And there were a few other things but by and large, his life was characterized by devotion to the Lord. It instilled in him because of his mother. And then, of course, we can see in Miriam, it would be described in her in the Old Testament as being a prophetess. After Israel crossed the Red Sea, miraculously when the waters parted, and they saw the delivery of Israel from the Egyptian army as the waters swept over them, we see that Miriam led in a song, a poem that of worship to the Lord. The legacy that Jochebed built into her children about trusting God, about worshiping God. We see that not only affecting them individually or as a tribe, the tribe of Levi, but also of a whole nation. Leaders among their people because of an insignificant woman who elevated her family above her own. I also want you to understand that it wasn't credentials that Jochebed passed on to them. Credentials may be the talk of the town in terms of where you've been and what you've done, but they will quickly be forgotten. Credentials can't be passed on. I can hope that David enjoys sports as much as I do. But I can't pass on to him the credential of being given the accolade of cross-country MVP in high school. I can't pass on the credential of, at one period of time, being a part and owning the record for the distance medley relay race. I can't pass on the credential of an MA in management. He has to earn those. But character is something that Jochebed instilled in her children. A character that would be dependent on God. And so it was character that she developed in them, bearing a strong family. Character is transferable. It is the legacy you leave with your children to pass on to their children because you got it from those who came before you. Pass it on. Joe Stoll would write, "Character is magnetic and motivating." You can follow somebody with a lot of credentials and find out that their character is really cheap and decide that they aren't worth following. But a person with character, you'll follow a long ways. Moses and Aaron and Miriam had the character that was developed in them by their mother. So what kind of character are you instilling in your family? Are you a credible influencer? You never know where your children are going to go in life, and so are you preparing them to meet whatever challenges come their way? A mother builds on a solid foundation. She bears a strong family. And finally, we want to notice in this passage that a mother believes in a saving faith. A man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at the distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Do you notice," she said, "nurse, not mother?" Miriam might have been 10 to 12 in age, and maybe she had been coached by her mother what to say, but "should I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse her?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." Wouldn't you like to have done that, moms, gotten paid for all of the work that you did for your kids? When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." There are those that suggest that God gave a special vision to Jochebed, indicating something to the effect that Moses was going to be unique, that Moses was going to be a leader of his people. Treat him well. Do what you can. But there isn't any indication in Scripture that occurred. We don't see it like the angel approaching Mary. You're going to be the child, the mother of the Christ child. We don't see it in the example of the angel going to the father of John the Baptist and saying, it's not like that. There wasn't any indication that a vision was given to Jochebed that Moses would be unique. Something in her, though, went beyond the motherly instincts of love and adoration for a child and said, this child is special. And so she began to do what she could to spare him. Faith. Faith is essential in what Jochebed did to ensure that Moses was not put to death. She defied the edict that kept her baby alive. We aren't told in Scripture if there were any other women who followed Jochebed's lead. We don't know if others gave in and gave up their children to be put to death. But we are told that Jochebed did. We are told that she hid him for 3 months. Now, it wasn't just her decision alone. We read in Hebrews 11 and verse 23 that it was Moses' parents together consulting one another and then consenting on the decision that we're going to do our best to do what we can. We know that if he's found out, it means death to us as well. But we're going to defy the king. We sing sometimes this chorus. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me close to his side with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. When you walk by faith and you're trusting God, trust that God will make a way when no other way seems possible. Even when God's way seems impossible, even crazy, trust him. Have faith. That's what Jochebed did. She made a little basket. The story, you know the story well. You've been in Sunday school or junior church. Regardless of denomination, you've heard this story. Put some pitch in it in a little basket and stuck it out in the river. Now, I want to share with you some things that Jochebed had to have faith in, that she had to believe God about. She had to trust God that when she hid the baby, that he wouldn't be found. I mean, what baby does not cry? Anybody have a baby like that? Never did? Mm-mm. She had to trust God that the basket would float. I mean, it doesn't matter. You put enough pitch in it. It can still be wobbly. I mean, it's a river. It's got waves. It's moving. She had to trust God that if she put the baby in the basket, that the basket would stay upright. And then she had to trust God that the crocodiles wouldn't come up and think that they got a picnic basket that they can pilfer. She had to believe and trust God that Moses wouldn't wake up somehow and get agitated and in his rocking tip the boat over. She had to trust God that someone, and someone important, would find the basket. She had to trust God that when someone found the basket, they wouldn't just tip it over following the king's edict. She had to trust God that someone who found it would be important and not report it to the king. And she had to trust God that the person who found the baby would adopt him. That's a lot. That's a lot of faith. To give your baby who can't tend to anything of his own into the hands of God and say, I'm going to trust you because I believe he's special and that you have a plan for him. Maybe, we don't know, but maybe she knew. I believe that she was resourceful. She just didn't leave things for chance. I believe that she knew that Pharaoh's daughter came down on a certain day to the river and where that place was, because Pharaoh's daughter was the only person who could spare Moses. Anybody else who might have found the baby and brought it in and recognized that it was a Hebrew baby, it could have been taken from them, but not Pharaoh's daughter. So it was purposeful of where he was placed strategically so that Pharaoh's daughter would find the baby. And then, as I said, she had to believe. Tradition holds that Pharaoh's daughter had no children. And so she had to believe that a mother's heart would reach out to this child and want to care for it herself. And so there we are. How do we know she had saving faith? Hebrews 11 tells us that in the first verse, there's this great cloud of witnesses, and they are there looking on, passing on the faith in a Messiah. And verse 23 lists Jochebed and Amram as part of that group of faith that we are to recognize and give praise to God for because their faith was passed on. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him." For Jochebed's faith to be rewarded as it was, she had to believe in God and she had to believe that she would be rewarded for her faith. So, mothers, what kind of faith are you passing on to your children? What kind of saving faith are you giving to them to believe that God is the one that we seek, and because we seek Him, He rewards those who seek Him? Jochebed believed that God could protect her child, not just in the immediate, but for the future as well. But I want you to notice that there's one more thing that Jochebed had to have faith in. All that aside, yes, the daughter of Pharaoh adopted Moses into her family. But Jochebed had to trust God that what she had taught him would remain with him. That all the allurement of things that would be taught to him in the courts of Egypt, in the palace itself, all the things physical and sensual around him would not overshadow the teachings of what Jochebed had instilled in him. And so she had to trust God that the faith she gave to him in those early years would carry him through all his life. Those of you who have left your children on the doorsteps of a secular university know of the importance of instilling faith in your children, because they don't teach about faith in those places, do they? They oppose and sometimes oppress those with religious beliefs. Those who believe in God, they teach you to deny God and to rely on yourself. If you've gone into a secular position in a work environment, you know that they teach you to depend on yourself, to put yourself forward. If you want to get ahead, you got to knock a few heads. Jochebed had to trust God that Moses would keep his faith intact. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And I believe that she had faithfully raised him. Oftentimes, mothers, you may appear to be obscure. Know how very important your life is in building on a solid foundation, bearing a strong family, believing in a saving faith. I encourage you to continue to set an example to your family to follow. See to it that they're taught about God from the source of truth about God in the Bible. The Gaither Vocal Band sings that we should pass our faith along. So I encourage you to do that. But today you don't have to be a mother to have a solid foundation on which to build. You don't have to be a mother to bear a strong family. You don't have to be a mother to believe in a saving faith. Each one of us have that responsibility to pass on from this generation to the next about God and how we can trust Him. But I believe Jochebed gives us a great example in Scripture of someone who helps us to know how important it is to build on those principles. An 11-year-old girl was asked about the best advice she had received from her mother, and she said, "First of all, Mom told me not to worry about boys until I was done with my education. And then, always put God first." The defiance of Jochebed to ignore the edict of a king led to the deliverance of a nation. Who knows what your children will become when they grow up? Give them the right foundation of faith and watch God use them mightily. Pass it on. In the eyes of God, their character will take them much further than any credentials. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage and the insight it gives to us about Jochebed and the faith that we are to pass on to those around us. Building on a solid foundation of your word and proclaiming the good news of Christ to those around us, helping to bear a strong Christian family that's built on solid principles, not a weak foundation. Having and believing in a saving faith that only God that we can trust in. At a time and in a place when there are many who would exclaim and promote that there are many ways to heaven, we need to build on a solid foundation that there is only one way, and you are that way. And so I ask today, Father, that through this passage, it would encourage us to be like Jochebed. Thanking you again for the example she gives to us. And I pray that the challenges that are there might convict us of ways in which we need to develop into the kind of person that she was in laying a foundation for those who come after us. And we'll give you thanks for what you're going to continue to do in us, for Christ's sake and for your glory. Amen.